This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, as a father of young children, I have developed a certain power. I didn't know I was going to develop this power. I hoped that I would, and indeed I have. When I hear my child's cry and see what's going on, I have a pretty good hunch at what the problem is. I didn't always have that power. There was a long time when my daughter Josephine, who just turned 3 last week, when she would cry and I wouldn't know what to do. Or my son Eden, who's 6 now, when he was younger and he would cry, I don't know. Be the middle of the night, my wife would be sleep deprived, and she'd say, "You deal with it." And I would have to go and deal with it. And started scanning them, you know. I'd look at this child that was crying, and I'd think, okay, well, did they eat? Maybe they're hungry. It's a good start. Maybe there's something bothering them physically. Is there, you know, when they're young, sometimes their clothes are scratchy. They don't like this outfit. You need a different one. Or their diaper's a little wet. Or something's uncomfortable. Or they've wrapped hair around their fingers. Or any number of things. Lately, with my daughter at nighttime, it's become this routine where I know where she's going to end up, which is next to her brother in bed, sleeping with the same song playing on the little monitor in her bedroom. But she doesn't start there. She starts in her bed and she'll lay down and won't want music. And I think, okay, I know where this is going to go. And about a minute in, she's crying and she wants to change and have music on. And I say, okay. And then she lays down in her bed again and I go, okay, I know where this is going to go. And then she starts crying and I know, as she points over to Eden, that means she wants to go and get in bed next to him. And eventually, we get there. Eventually, we get to the place where she finally feels comfortable and safe and like she can rest and whole. She doesn't know where she's going to end up, but I've been through this before. I know. And I know what she's crying about at night. When Jesus comes down from the mountain after having named his 12 disciples, he comes down amongst the crowd of people. And the people, they have come. And the scriptures tell us they have come for 2 things. They have come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They've come to hear him first and be healed of their diseases second. But as Jesus looks up at these people, he sees, oh, they think they want to hear me, but I know what's going on. I notice the problems here. We're going to start with healing first. So he flips their expectations around. They're not going to hear him first and then be healed. Jesus heals them first so that then they'll be able to hear. Healing them, he sees their problems. He sees those who are troubled by sickness. He sees those who are troubled with unclean spirits, the scriptures say. Everyone in the crowd who came to him was able to be healed. They had their human needs met first, their bodily needs, their spiritual needs, and then they could hear Jesus' words of the sermon on the plain. It's been a growing, policy or theory of how to help those who are suffering and unhoused in our cities and in our nation, that the first thing that we do as a society ought to be to house somebody first. Housing programs have often required some sort of requirement to sobriety, some sort of requirement to mental health in order to take people in and house them. But ever since the 90s, there's been a different way of thinking about the problem of housing. A problem that is a big one in many of our cities around the country, including here in the Twin Cities. And Houston, Texas, was one of these cities where there was a great deal of unhoused people. A great deal of unhoused people, and about 2011, they took on a new strategy. They brought in somebody who could corral the whole city's strategy around homelessness and housing, and they began really putting to work the policies of housing first. And in the course of 10 years, the homelessness population in Houston was cut by over half. Because the issues that people deal with when they're unsheltered, issues like addiction or mental illness or poor health, they only get worse if there's no safe place to sleep. And so looking at these people, Houston was able to say, what is the primary human need for a safe place to sleep? Housing came first, and then the healing could begin. Then the work towards being, back into their full lives could begin. We have to heal first, address our basic needs. Like a couple days ago, over the weekend, I was wondering what was going on with my body. It was about noon, and I noticed that my eye had started to twitch, and I had a headache that was building, and I started to think, like, oh, am I getting sick, or am I stressed out, or do I need to take some Advil? And then it came to me, oh, no, in the 5 hours that I've been awake, I've only had coffee. Maybe I should drink some water and have a bite to eat. Sometimes you have to deal with the basics first. When Jesus comes down from the mountain to be with the crowd of people, he gets to business dealing with the basics of the crowd. He looks out at the crowd and he sees them. He sees the wholeness of who they are and the ways that they are far from that wholeness at the moment. And power flows off from him to bring them back to it. That power is flowing still. Jesus sees still. Jesus sees the wholeness of your humanity, sees the wholeness of your body, your mind, sees the wholeness of your past and your present and the fulfilling dreams of your future. And Jesus wants to restore you to it as well. As a church, we've acclaimed a new mission this year. And the first part of our mission statement as Christ the King is that we are healed to be whole. We start with healing first, just like Jesus does when he comes down from the mountain to be with the crowd. Healing to be brought back to wholeness, the wholeness of who we are. And wholeness looks different for each one of us. We've each been made to be unique in this world. We've each been made with different gifts, and living into the wholeness of how God has gifted us looks different, but it is that wholeness that is the same. It is that same authenticity of life that Jesus is calling us to and drawing us toward. And here together in this community, we can say that we are healed and healing. And that we are on the road to wholeness and seen as God as already whole. Because that's where it starts. Being restored to health and the wholeness of our humanity. When I was in North Dakota, we had a number of people coming in to work in the oil fields during the oil boom out there in western North Dakota. And one of the people who came in was a woman who got on a plane from Bogota, Colombia, and flew to Florida, and then got on a bus from Florida and rode the bus all the way to Stanley, where she got off. And she didn't have anywhere to stay. She didn't have anywhere to sleep. She eventually got connected with a distant connection and was sleeping on a couch in a man camp that she was able to access only a few hours of the day. And she would be seen on her bike riding along the highway. Our church members got connected with her, stopped her on the highway, and said, "This isn't a safe place to ride your bike. Can you need a ride?" And eventually, we got connected, and she was welcomed into our home at the parsonage that we lived in. She took one of our basement rooms. We had a lot. We had a 7-bedroom a parsonage. They wanted us to have a lot of children. But that first night that she stayed with us, after she had taken a shower and rinsed off all of the grime, after she had changed her clothes into something more fitting, she was about a 50-year-old woman. She had worked as a psychologist in Colombia, but due to the lack of economic opportunity, had come here in North Dakota to work. And sitting down to dinner with us, she said something that I'll never forget. As we started to eat, and she just said, "Thank you, I feel human again." Jesus wants us to never forget our humanity. When he starts with healing, and then he continues with the blessings and the woes of this sermon, he is drawing us back to pay attention to what it is that really makes us human. In all of these occasions of blessing, when you are poor, when you are hungry, when you weep, when people hate you, these are occasions when you can feel less than, when your humanity feels up for grabs or on trial. But here Jesus is saying, "I see you. I see you for the human wholeness that you are, and I honor you, and blessed are you, because I care for you. And woe to the others, to those who are rich, who are full, who are laughing, who are famous, who all speak well of, As he says woe to these qualities of human life, human experience, he's naming out the qualities of our human experience that we often value over and above our common humanity. That there is this thing in our brains that wants to drive us to be the ubermensch, the superhuman, the extra human. That when we can be comfortable, when we can be wealthy, when we can be famous, when we can be powerful, that these are where the value of life is. But Jesus knows that these are not where the value of life is, that that's not where your humanity lies, and it's not where your value is. And that if you value your life only based on those transitory qualities, then you will only ever be capable of living out a tragedy. Because those things will not last. Eventually, they will crumble. Moth and rust will consume. Thieves will break in and steal. And the ending will not be a happy one, if that is where we put our trust. But for those of us who hear, who can start to see with the eyes of Jesus the sacred humanity that is present within you, that is present within the life of each person who's ever been born. If we can see with the eyes of Jesus that humanity is holy and that personhood is divine, and that our personhood is not limited by our immigration status or our gender identity, or our political party, or our family history, or our physical ability, or our mental normativity, or our criminal record, if we can see the humanity in one another, if we can see the humanity in ourselves, and in our neighbors, and in the strangers across the street and across the world, and even in our enemies, if we can see their humanity, if our gaze can be healed, then we might just yet be made whole. So come to Jesus, be healed first. For the power of Christ is flowing off of him. Come and get that power, as much as you need it today, to feel whole and restored to the truest version of you. And then you will be able to offer that blessed gift of humanity first to every person you meet. The gift that does not look on any earthly measure for an assurance of its validity or value, but trusts and rests and believes in nothing less than the holy love of God.